The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Brandon Tatum is a 7-year veteran of the Tucson Police Department. He's a YouTube sensation with over 2 million subscribers. He started Blexit with Candace Owens, and now he's tackling his biggest assignment yet. This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show, broadcasting live from Tampa. I mean, not Tampa, but from Orlando. Out here at the NRB, what a wonderful experience. You know, I really enjoy being around people of God. I cannot say that I'm not a chameleon, which means that I cannot adapt to my environment, but I prefer to be around good Christian folks because it seems like the conversations are always good and the atmosphere is always wonderful and encouraging. But on this show, and I have some special guests that are coming in. It's a family that I met yesterday after the show. And I am compelled to elevate the voices of parents who are willing to stand up and protect their children. There are so many people that are complaining as we speak. They're complaining about the experiences that their children are faced with at school. They're complaining because they push books that literally have pornography in them. They're upset because teachers are mindless in believing that they have authority over your children more so than you do. And parents are upset. But the question that I have is, what are parents doing about the atrocities at some of these schools in the United States of America? I know that it's not every school. There are some people that their children go to incredible schools, incredible teachers, incredible staff there that are not willing to compromise because of the Joneses or compromise because of what's going on in America with this push to support the LGBTQ, AARP, NAACP movement. And the reason why I joke with the acronyms is because they become ridiculous at this point. When you have an acronym that's about 72 letters long and nobody can address what they actually mean. So there is a video, and I don't have the video. I think we'll be able to get the video produced and ready in break. But some of you guys have seen the video that I made where John went to a school board meeting and lashed the people there who are running the school, who have allowed such vile things to be taught to the kids, the books that are portrayed. I remember him reading the book, and people were so offended. Adults at the meeting where they wanted him to stop talking and reading the book in the school because it was too offensive for adults. Yet they want to push this in the school. And I remember he made a statement. He said, "Was it something I said?" While he was reading the book. You know, here in the state of Florida, you had Ron DeSantis and his team came on television and they were reading some of these pornographic books that they have in the schools, in the grade schools here in Florida. And it was so bad, the things that they were reading, that they literally cut television off because it was too intense for television. But yet it's not too intense to indoctrinate your children. So I have two parents here. I met their daughter, raised an incredible young lady. She is a rock star. I literally talked to her yesterday, and it's not God's fault. It's the parents' fault. But I feel like parents don't raise kids like that anymore. A young lady that's courageous, that's bold, confident, that talks about the Lord. It is absolutely incredible to see. So I have two parents here. Can you introduce yourselves, you know, starting with you, sir? Just give us your name, where you guys are from, and then we'll go into the conversation that we had yesterday about your efforts in standing up against schools that are promoting negativity to your children. So, sir, I'll start with you. Is that this one? Go ahead. Hey, Sean, do you guys hear them?
No.
Y'all don't hear them whatsoever. Okay. Do you hear them now?
Testing. Okay. Chad Hawley and Wendy Hawley.
You hear them? Okay. Chad and Wendy Hawley. So Chad, we spoke yesterday, and you made a viral video. As a man of integrity, as a father who is concerned, you challenged the school board on the way they were putting materials into the school, and you took a stance. Can you explain to my audience what exactly happened? And the biggest thing I want people to take away from this is that not only what happens, but what did you do about it? So can you explain what happened at the school and what did you do about it?
Yeah, it all started with Mama Bear here, Wendy, and her attention to detail. And some materials came over to us that the school is promoting pedophilia, rape, lust, pornography. Not only was it just slipping through the cracks at the library, they were actively promoting this material and rewarding students for standing up and promoting this material, where they were going to reward them for being a principal of the day, for example, by creating a public service announcement. So this is not only in North Carolina, this is a class one felony. It's a criminal act what they're doing. And so Wendy here took charge, and she rallied many of us to come together to say, no way, no how, we're going to stand up, we're going to do something about it.
Awesome, awesome. Wendy, Mommy, who's here, for the people that are listening on the radio, Mama Bear is what I call you. Can you explain what your efforts were when this was brought to your attention? Of course, you have children that are in the school system. Your oldest has graduated but is in college now. And so can you explain kind of what your efforts were in this?
Yeah, so our son is a junior at the school, and it was an initiative that they actually played a video of teachers promoting this material, and his teacher in his classroom would not play the video.
Right, great.
And so what I did is we became active in politics in North Carolina. During the last election cycle. So through that, we got to meet people who were on the school board. So I would say to any parents out there, if you can become, like, go to political meetings, meet the people who are in positions of authority so that if something like this comes your way, you already have connections so that you know what to do and where to go. And so we were able to speak with the school board. We had a connection in media, and he put our story on the news. We got connected with Moms for Liberty, and then just connections that we had, we were able to rally parents from all different backgrounds, and we came at it from different directions.
And with the efforts that you guys put in, what was the result? Because people are, and I would argue that some people may be afraid of the challenge. Some people may not be as bold, or they believe that if they go to the school board meeting and they challenge these people on these issues, that they're just going to get brushed under the rug. What was the result of your efforts, you know, both you and Chad and Wendy?
Because a team rallied together, like Wendy said, we got people in government and education and media. We came together as a collaboration. And as a result, we had the initiative stop in 48 hours in the school.
Wow.
And then furthermore, in 1 week, we were in front of, a group of us were in front of the city school board. And it was an auditorium setting, and it was probably maybe 100 people sitting there. It was being televised.
Wow.
And we said, we are going all in on this, and we're going to have courage. And when you see my video in particular, she was much more thoughtful and kind. But I felt like, even as a man, as a Christian man, even though the video could be profane, all I did was quote exactly what was being promoted. And it was stunning, and it caught their attention. And the last result is this. They actually committed to create a new citywide committee mm-hmm. to make changes. Whether they do it or not, we don't know, but we know we're able to do something within just 2 weeks.
All righty, that's awesome, Wendy. You were explaining to me yesterday the committee and how now when they put books into the school, it has to pass this particular committee, I believe. Can you explain that real quick, how that process is now being streamlined through, I would say, a process that parents can receive transparency on?
Yes, before each school in Charlotte-Mecklenburg School District, there was committees at each school if there was a challenged book that you had to go through the principal and the librarian, which are the people who put the material there in the first place. And so now they are making a centralized committee run by the superintendent. And so there's going to be a master list of what books are allowed and not allowed in the schools so that books can't fall through the cracks.
I love that. You know, thank you guys for coming and sharing your story. I think it's absolutely incredible that you two stood up and said, you know, we're going to do something about this. It's not enough to talk, because people do a lot of talking. But you have to go from talking to action at some point, because they respect the action part. The talking part is something that they may not do much with. But I appreciate you guys. I was so blessed by you guys coming and talking to me and meeting your wonderful daughter. So thank you, Chad and Wendy, for coming on the show and sharing a little bit with my audience. Real quick, is there any way somebody could follow you? I got like 10 seconds that can follow what you guys are doing.
Yeah, so we're the founders of the Nexus Mountain Network, and it can be downloaded on the Apple and Google Play, and it's a Christian social network where Christians can come together and achieve God's purposes in society just like this.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break. Prison culture is no different than any other culture. The brokenness that lands people in prison, if left unaddressed, often perpetuates a cycle of destructive thinking and behaviors that will negatively impact individuals for generations, unless something intervenes to change that cycle. The good news is that something is the Prison Fellowship Academy program. Since 1997, Prison Fellowship have been transforming prison culture one changed life at a time. The Prison Fellowship Academy offers prisoners hope for a new life. When they are released, they will be ready to return to society as good citizens and be better spouses, parents, and workers. God is at work throughout the entire prison system, thanks to Prison Fellowship Academy. I'll be telling you inspiring stories about the Academy in the days ahead. But to learn more right now, please go to TheOfficerTatum.com and click on the Prison Fellowship banner. That's TheOfficerTatum.com, TheOfficerTatum.com, and click on the Prison Fellowship banner. Thank you, guys. Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I want to tell you guys about the Angel Tree campaign that I'm doing. We do it every summer, and I believe it's an opportunity, not just for the young people that we are going to send to summer camp, but also for you to be a blessing to somebody else. I honestly believe that if you are going through anything in life and you're feeling down or feel like you've lost your purpose, when you bless other people, it makes an incredible difference. And this is an opportunity, I believe, of a lifetime. Some of you guys who are listening probably have been waiting for an opportunity to say, how can I bless another person? How can I be involved? This is your opportunity. Angel Tree Camp will send young people whose parents are incarcerated to a summer camp. And at the summer camp, they're not just going to any summer camp. They're not going to get indoctrinated. They're going to a summer camp and learning about Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And they're going to a summer camp and they're building relationships with other young people and having an experience they will never have an opportunity to have unless we do our part and help. So if you go to my website, theofficertatum.com, theofficertatum.com, T-H-E, officertatum.com. My English is bad. You click at the banner at the very top of my website, and it'll be an option for you to click and then donate. $200 will get all expenses paid for one kid to go to camp. So I would ask for you, if God has blessed you with the finances to do so, is to get at least one kid to the camp. And if not, it's I don't think it's a huge issue if that's not something that's in your budget, but give something. Even if you gave a dollar, you are going to bless a young kid to be able to go to camp. So go to the Angel Tree campaign and donate today and be supportive of a cause that's making an incredible difference. Ladies and gentlemen, I have another, I would argue you're a parent. I didn't ask you your story. So
I am a parent of four.
A parent of four. And I was intrigued by her story, Patty, and remind me of your last name.
Garibay.
Mm-hmm. Patty Garibay. And I was inspired by the organization that you run, because even me and my wife had made mention about this. The Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts have gone completely woke. At least they have girls that can be in Boy Scouts. That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. However, you have an organization that I would argue replaces the Girl Scouts. Can you explain to my audience what that is and how you believe that that's incredibly impactful for young women?
Absolutely. American Heritage Girls is a Christ-centered scouting organization for girls ages 5 to 18. And it was started all the way back in 1995.
Wow.
As a result of the Girl Scouts changing the Girl Scout promise to no longer make an oath to God mandatory.
Really?
And so all the way back in 1995, this is a little known secret, the Girl Scouts have already started to go down that trajectory, that woke trajectory. And today, well, it's all history. But as a result, I felt like that God was calling me to do something small, something for my daughter. You know, we do things for our kids,
don't we?
Yes. But who would have thought 28 years later and 60,000 girls later and hundreds of thousands over the years that they would still exist and that we would have American Heritage Girls to help us for a time such as this?
I think that's so amazing because young people become the future. And if we're not pouring into our young people and giving them proper guidance, because sometimes parents may not be equipped completely to do everything.
That's right.
I know we like to believe so, that we're the jack of all trades and we can do everything. But sometimes sending them to a camp, getting them around other young women to be inspired by their peers, headed in the right direction, can be incredibly impactful. What is the biggest fear that you had when you started the organization, meaning the reason why you started the organization? What was that fear for young women?
Well, you know, if you have a character development program, and that's what you tout, and that's what you say, we're going to teach morality and values, and you take God out of the equation, well, then what is it going to be based on? The cultural winds of today. And we see how those cultural winds are today, right? So we have to have something that's grounded in the truth of the gospel, that is unequivocally Christian, but allows girls from all different avenues, whether they're from Christian families or not, they can still be part of American Heritage Girls, and they will learn about Christ through the outdoors, through earning badges, through level awards, through being able to serve others. I loved what you just said about Angel Tree. We love Angel Tree. That is another outreach for the girls.
Awesome, awesome. And you know, how old are the young ladies that are involved in this camp? Is it from, five all the way up, or is it just teenagers? What is the age demographic of the young girls?
Well, this isn't just a camp. This is an all-year-long gig, okay?
Wow.
This is something
you
come alongside with the church, and you create a troop, a small group, so to speak, for the girls to belong to.
Yeah.
And it's a very transformative thing because Christ is in it, number one. You have adult mentors that are awesome, that care about the next generation. And you also have these great activities that keep it busy. 5 to 18, all of girlhood.
Wow.
And so it's really transformative. However, with that being said, a girl can come into the program at any age. They don't have to be 5 and end at 18,
but
come in and out as they need to.
You know, one question I have for you, and I hope it's not putting you on the spot, but do you guys have conversations with these young women about marriage?
Oh, yes.
About, you know, the integrity and the honor of being a wife and all of those things. Can you explain that?
Absolutely. I mean, this is all about building women of integrity. That's our mission statement, building women of integrity through service to God, family, community, and country. And we do talk about lifelong learnings and also vocations and marriage and all the importance of various character traits such as purity and reverence and responsibility and what it means to be a woman of integrity.
Yes.
So, yeah, we dig in deep. And, you know, as an organization, we don't shy away from the controversies that are also surrounding today's girls, and that includes things like the mental health epidemic, the fact that they're so lonely and they're isolated and they're confused. And we believe that confusion comes from the adversary and that understanding the Bible and who they are in Christ will help to solve all of that. And that's what we're trying to do through AHG.
I love that. That is absolutely amazing. We need to partner your organization with a young men's organization so when they graduate, they can get married.
That's right. We have a few of those. Our brother organization is Trail Life USA, and we've actually had some marriages occur, believe it or not.
That is awesome and amazing. Can you tell my audience where they can find your organization's website and socials, or how can they help and support what you guys are doing there?
Absolutely. Prayer is number one, right? I mean, really, the Lord is the one who's running this show, okay? And this is his ministry. But visit AmericanHeritageGirls.org, and there you can learn how to find a troop, start a troop, or if you'd like some parenting tools on how to raise a godly girl, we have three free e-books there. A Raising Godly Girls Guide to Fear and Anxiety, Raising Godly Girls Guide to Gender and Identity, and a Raising Godly Girls Guide to Biblical Worldview.
I love that. What a blessing you are and what a blessing your organization is to young women. Sometimes when they're younger, they may not realize how important the foundation of being a woman and having examples of real virtuous women in America is. Because unfortunately today, our young women are taught to, and not all, because some parents do their job, but the promiscuity aspect of it, and that your value is found in beauty alone. Your external development, or if you are beautiful, or if you are, you know, going after guys or doing all this other stuff, that's kind of where some women find value in, and it's unfortunate. But thank you so much for joining me. You have been such an incredible person on the show, and I hope that people go out and visit your website. Can you give your website one more time, and your organization, and your name, so people do not forget?
I'm Patty Garibay with American Heritage Girls, and that's AmericanHeritageGirls.org.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to call in 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. I'll talk to you guys after the break. Y'all hold the phone. I am excited to announce the Officer Tatum store, my store, all the cool merch, everything that you're looking for, godly merch, patriotic merch, pro-police merch, it's all on the Officer Tatum store. All you have to do when you go to theofficertatumstore.com, put in discount code Team Tatum, you get 20% off the entire store. If you are looking for a gift for Christmas and you're Christmas shopping early, or you just want a gift for your mama, your daddy, especially your daddy, if you love your father, I know that my father was an incredible impact. We have Father's Matter shirts, we got mugs, we got hoodies, I mean, you can name it, we got leather patch hats, great quality, leather made right here in the great state of Arizona, U.S. made. Ladies and gentlemen, you do not want to miss out on this special, 20% off. And we have incredibly fast shipping. Ladies and gentlemen, we fulfill our products within 24 hours, and we put shipping out. Sometimes people get their stuff the same day or the next day, 20% off on the store. All you got to do is put in Team Tatum. Put in Team Tatum, you get 20% off the entire store, or you could text Brandon to 53445. Text Brandon to 53445. Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest store on planet Earth, the Officer Tatum store. Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I want to tell you guys about the most incredible store that you can ever go on online to buy merch, and that's the store right here. I got on Father's Matter shirt, TatumStore.com, TatumStore.com. We got so much incredible merch. Two Genders is my favorite. I almost wore today, but I didn't want to trigger every single person at this conference. But we have Two Genders. The Don 2.0 is one of our biggest sellers, and Father's Matter was a top seller during Father's Day. We've come out with so many more items for Father's Day. We have Dad Up, we have Old School Dad, and then we also have the Father's Matter shirt that I'm wearing now in regular and in the blackout version. So go to TatumStore.com, TatumStore.com. We got 90,000 customers. We have 10,000 five-star reviews on our website and many more things to offer. We make it right in the state of Arizona in Scottsdale at my headquarters. We do the whole process just for you. So go to TatumStore.com, TatumStore.com, and I don't want you to go and pay full price because I love you and I love your support and I want to thank you. So go on and put in Tatum Show 20 and get 20% off the entire store. Tatum Show 20 and get 20% off the entire store. James Spencer.
Yep.
I said I was going to remember your name, and I forgot it after saying it 150 times. But James Spencer, you were introduced to me just recently. I want to interview a lot of people here at NRB that are incredible. And the subject of what we're going to talk about is mind-blowing to me because I've never heard anybody put both of them together. The faith in AI.
Yeah.
How is that even a thing, right? So, but you wrote an ebook, and I'm going to let you explain that so I don't butcher any of it. But I want to have a conversation about AI with you. First, I want you to tell us about your ebook, and then we're going to go through and talk about AI because I have so many questions for you.
Okay, yeah. So we have done a few different 20 questions ebooks, and we just did one on 20 questions and Christians and AI. And so it goes through 20 just basic questions to help Christians frame the issue of AI, what it is, how it works. And on this one, I did something special. I actually interacted with ChatGPT to write portions of the questions. So I'd ask it questions, it would give me responses, and then I'd sort of reflect on those responses. You're getting kind of a real-time conversation between me and one of the AI models that's out there in ChatGPT. It should give some good answers and hopefully some helpful perspective.
That'd be great. So I want to ask you about AI. What is your thoughts? You know, I think just about with anything when it comes to innovative things in America, all across the world, it can be used for good or it can be turned for evil. What is your take on AI? Has it gone so far that it's inevitable to be evil?
I don't think it's inevitable to be evil. I think one of the problems we're facing right now is the way that tech companies have opened it up to the public. Opening it up to the public the way that they have, it has some potential to be harmful to the public, just like social media. The APA just came out with a health advisory on social media for adolescents, but we've been using it for more than a decade.
Right.
And so we're a little behind on that. And so there is some concern there with AI, but I think more so the openness of the AI development also allows bad actors to grab AI and take advantage of the good work that some of these companies are doing and use them for more nefarious means. And so I think that aspect is always there. What I would have preferred to see with AI and what I think we should be pushing for is narrow use case AI. And so Khanmigo with Khan Academy, which is a tutoring platform of sorts online, they've got Khanmigo, that's their AI. And it provides sort of one-on-one tutoring for students that are going through different Khan Academy things. We've known since the 80s that if you can get... I'm kind of an academic at heart, and so I was in higher education for a long time, so this kind of stuff geeks me out. But we've known since the 80s we could get people to do one-on-one tutoring, that their learning would move up two standard deviations.
Right.
And so this one-on-one tutoring through AI and Khanmigo, they've really done a nice job of leveraging what I think AI could really do for us without losing the human elements in it. And it's a narrow use case, so we know what it does, we know how it does it, you know, we've got some better controls over it. And I think that's really what's lacking in some of these more public-facing AIs that are out there.
Yes.
And that's really the concern that I would have.
Right. You know, I don't like the government. I don't want the government in anybody's business because they don't know how to do things without leveraging it for power. However, I do feel that the government needs to find an equitable way to manage AI.
Yeah.
Because if AI can begin to do their own intelligence and then do more intelligence of intelligence, then we won't be able to stop it. Elon Musk has already mentioned that the cat is out of the bag and we're screwed. I could only imagine that AI could create a cloud, or I don't know, create a cloud. Maybe they can tap into a cloud service and then create a backup to a backup service so humans can't access it. Because if the AI can become self-sustainable and smart enough, it can outsmart us. Yeah. We don't have the mental capacity to draft everything that has ever been written on the internet and produce it to somebody in 15 minutes.
Correct. And I think there's two things that I'd say. The EU has actually been working on some pretty good regulations. So this morning they just came out with regulations related to how AI could develop, not using AI models for certain manipulative means and sort of negative persuasive kind of things that we've seen on Facebook and social media and those kind of places, but then also leaving open the possibility for research-based AI development that would not curtail the entrepreneurial spirit behind it.
Right.
So I think those are actually pretty solid regulations. On the complete other side of the equation, you know, we don't have anything right now in the U.S. It's really looking like it could firm up anytime soon. And so my recommendation really to Christians is realize that you're talking to maybe the smartest person in the room, let's say.
Right.
But that smartest person in the room doesn't mean – just because he's the smart person in the room doesn't mean they're right.
Yeah, I run out of time. So, James, thank you so much for coming
on. No problem.
God bless you. I didn't run out of time. So y'all hold the phone. I'll be back after the break. Amen. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I want to tell you guys about Relief Factor. If you're looking for a solution to aches and pains, if you're looking for a supplement that works, Relief Factor is your supplement. I take Relief Factor and it works well for me. One thing that I think is a myth about Relief Factor is that you have to be a certain age to take Relief Factor, that you have to wait until your body start breaking down to begin to take Relief Factor. But I would argue that Relief Factor can be proactively taken. As a 36-year-old man, I started taking Relief Factor and it worked incredibly well for me. I thought that my lower back pain wouldn't go away. I thought it was just something I had to live with, being a football player, which I was working out and squatting with no belt on, and also being a police officer for so many years, carrying that 20-pound belt. And when I was on SWAT team, 70 pounds of gear, I figured if I just stretch in the morning to make it better. But taking Relief Factor really helped my lower back, and I became a believer in it. And so I encourage you to give it a try. I always tell people, don't just believe me, man. Go to relieffactor.com and look at the testimonials and see if you can find common ground with people that have experiences like yourself, and give it a try. What do you have to lose? Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. Get started with the 3-week Kickstarter for $19.95. Relieffactor.com or call the number 804-RELIEF. All right, I got so much stuff to talk about. I had incredible guests that have come on, but now it's time to go crazy with these crazy leftist demonic policies that I'm reading about. And reparations is one of the most evil things that I've ever heard in the way in which it's presented. Now, should black people have gotten reparations a long time ago? I say yes, they probably should have. But at this point, it's too late. If you hadn't given it to us now, it ain't no reason to give it to us. If you haven't gotten it to us by this point, there's no reason to do it now. And the reason that I say that is because at what point do we use common sense when it comes to reparations? Who's going to pay reparations? Last time I checked, black people been paying taxes for I don't know how long. So the government is going to come up with money that black people has already given them in order to produce money back to them as reparations. It's the stupidest thing on planet Earth. Let me add to this about reparations as well. What do you do about biracial couples? If there's somehow a reparation, my wife is white. Is she supposed to pay me reparations? And then if you look at it, our children are biracial. So how does reparations work for biracial children? Therefore, you defeat the purpose, because all I'm going to do when you give me a $1.2 million of reparations, I'm going to give it to my wife who's white. All right. So I think that if we use logic and understanding, reparations isn't conducive for the growth and productivity of black people in general. We've already seen when somebody wins the lottery, they normally blow all their money. If you are not going to couple finances with financial literacy, you are hurting people. And I'll tell you this, and I think that, and it's sad that a lot of black people that push this, either they're being evil, ignorant, or they're race hustling, one of the three, maybe all three at the same time. But you should understand and acknowledge that reparations of $1.2 million given to somebody is literally passing on wealth to rich people. Because I guarantee you that when somebody get $1.2 million in a bank account, they're going to go buy something from somebody. They're going to go buy something to make people richer. Why do you say that, Mr. Tatum? Remember during COVID? Remember them PPP loans and all the stuff that they were giving out to the public? The man who became the richest man in the world is the one that have the conglomerate company that owned Louis Vuitton and all this high-end fashion. So people were going out and buying high-end fashion with their STEMI checks. And somehow we believe that giving reparations to black people is going to be a solution to the ill will and the ill deeds of things that have happened in the past in our country. I would argue this point as well. I think that the country has already done enough. You talk about affirmative action. You talk about all the things that the country have done to try to right the wrongs. And at some point, you have to take up your own mantle and you have to take accountability for your actions. I don't understand how in America we are still crying about slavery. I do not understand. There's an historical context that we should never forget. But at this point, how is a person being a slave that you don't even know, you never met, may not even be associated with your family, somehow stopping you from getting off your couch and getting a job? None of those things make any sense to me. If you ask me, if you still want to push reparations, there's two ways that I think that African Americans should get reparations in America, and that's one from the Democrat Party or two from other black people. Oh, y'all don't want to hear that. Other black people should really be paying black people reparations. If you look at the murder and the damage done in these inner city communities, these thugs that went to prison for murdering people and terrorizing the community owe their own community reparations. And then the politicians that are pushing poor policies that lead to residual debt, residual lack of wealth and growth, they owe reparations to their own community. And look at the black leaders like Al Sharpton and all the rest of them. They are damaging and pimping out the community in order to become wealthy. You know, they tell you that you're not supposed to trust the white man and you got to do all this. And they running it up. Their financial status is way up here. Schools are, our kids aren't getting educated. Their kids go to private school. How come the white man jumped over them? Racism and prejudice in America is somehow pervasive, but it jumped over Al Sharpton. And that fool is pimping y'all so hard that he owed millions of dollars in taxes that he haven't paid. And I often wonder, at what point are we going to be wise, and at what point are we going to remember that we are in this together as a country? It boggles my mind. Do you pay reparations to the men who sacrificed their lives in the Civil War? Because I think you should. If it wasn't for them sacrificing it all, dying, the hundreds of thousands of people who died in the Civil War, we wouldn't have the freedoms that we have today. Slaves would probably not be free. I would say probably not. Obviously, the Union won, not the Confederacy. Then do you give them reparations? What about the people that helped Harriet Tubman free the slaves to the North? She didn't go on Aladdin didn't come pick her up on a carpet, and she was transporting black people in to Never Never Land. She was taking black people, and there was good white people who were Christians who were helping her, hiding people in their houses, risking their lives to help end slavery and rescue people who were in bondage. Do you give them reparations? Larry Elder gave a statistic of 60% of white people who are here today migrated here after slavery. So at what point are they responsible for things that they had no involvement in? I think this is just what we call a money grab. It's funny that billions of dollars were given to Black Lives Matter and affiliate organizations. And how much money did they give to black people? Zero. How much effect did they have in the black community? Zero. All they did was pimp you out and buy mansions, i.e. Patrice Cullors. Let me tell you guys about Relief Factor before I go to the break. If you're looking for a solution to aches and pains, if you look for something that works, Relief Factor is your supplement. I take Relief Factor and it works well for me, so I'm confident that it will work well for you. Listen, all you have to do is give it a try. What do you have to lose? Over 500,000 people take Relief Factor, and 70% of people, that is a tremendous statistic, 70% of people that order Relief Factor order more. So just give it a try. Don't just listen to me. Do your research on your own. But I'm giving you the keys to knowledge of a supplement that works incredibly well. And it's 100% drug free. So if you don't want to have to go to a pharmacy and get a drug that's going to get you on another drug, that's going to put you on another drug from another drug, you can get Relief Factor today. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Get started with the 3-week quick starter for $19.95. ReliefFactor.com or call the number 800-4-RELIEF. Ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. Let me tell you guys about the Salem News Channel. If you're looking for an incredible channel where you have nothing but the truth, the whole truth, so help you God, of conservatives telling it like it is, all you got to do is go to SalemNewsChannel.com. SalemNewsChannel.com. We have so many incredible people. Eric Metaxas was just next to me. I was on a panel with him this morning, and he is a firebrand. I have never seen anybody as bold, or at least it's rare to see people as bold as Eric Metaxas coming out, speaking truth to power and being bold as a Christian in the faith. So go and watch not only Eric Metaxas, but many other conservatives who are just tearing it up in the conservative movement. I say the Salem News Channel is the antidote to the mainstream media. So go to SalemNewsChannel.com, download the Salem News Channel on your podcast. I mean, not the podcast, but on your app store, whether it's Android or iPhone, and also you can get it on the Roku. Let's continue this conversation. I think that anybody that's pushing reparations is disingenuous at best, and those people do not love you. They do not care about you. They just want to get money out of the government pocket to put in the pockets of people who are incredibly wealthy. All you had to do is look at what Black Lives Matter has done over the inception and all the way to the conclusion of Black Lives Matter. They have done absolutely nothing for black people. I don't even know why they would call them Black Lives Matter. It should be Black Lives Matter, because all they do is push lies. It should be Black Mansions Matter, because Patrice Cullors then ran it up with all them mansions in all white neighborhoods. Now, I understand the grift. Black Lives Matter, they're running it up. They're making all this money. They're doing all this thuggery, in my personal opinion. However, can you at least buy a house in a black neighborhood? Can you at least go to Atlanta somewhere and get you a house? You got to go to California and Calabasas or somewhere. Ain't a black person in 2 miles, a 2-mile radius. You would never see a black person out in those areas where Patrice Cullors are buying houses. These people are fraudulent. And so why would you believe anything that they say? Acting as if they are advocating for black people. If they were advocating for black people, they would not be lying to you about this hope and a prayer of reparations you ain't never going to get. I find it very interesting that when Barack Obama was the president, where was the reparations then? Because they ain't never going to give you no reparations. All they doing is tricking you into voting for them in the next election. What they should be saying is empowering you. They should be eliminating CRT and all this other bull crap from your schools and empowering you. and telling you you can make it, and telling you how, the success measures that you can put in place that can cause you to be great in America. They should be telling you that the American dream is for you just like anybody else. But instead, they hoodwinking you and telling you that this country is not does not belong to you, telling you that waking up early is white supremacy, being smart and intelligent is you trying to be white. All of these things, in my personal opinion, are tricks of the enemy. That's why you cannot believe these people, because they do not love you. They love the devil. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm running out of time. Call in 844-900-7243. 844-900-7243. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. Keeping it real.
Are you tired of not getting a good night's sleep? Well, my friends, Mike Lindell has created the perfect solution. He didn't just stop at the pillow. He also created the Giza Dream bed sheets, made from the world's best cotton called Giza. These sheets are ultra soft and breathable, yet extremely durable. And now for a limited time, you can get 50% off the Giza Dream sheets with prices starting as low as $29.98. These sheets come in a variety of sizes and colors and have a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Take advantage of this amazing offer. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square and use promo code Brandon at checkout. You can also find deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the MyPillow 2.0 mattress topper and MyPillow towel sets. Don't wait any longer to get the best sleep of your life. Call 800-976-8379 or go to MyPillow.com now and use promo code Brandon. Remember, this sale won't last forever, so don't miss out.
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I know people are going to be mad at me for saying this, but I only know how to do one thing, and that's tell the truth. Now, I read this article. It says Carrie Lake loses her last claim in Arizona election challenge. It says Arizona judge has dismissed the Republican gubernatorial candidate Carrie Lake's only remaining legal claim to her lawsuit challenge in her loss to the Democrat governor, Katie Hobbs, in 2022 election. Let me just say this. After you lose the last lawsuit, it's time to move on from the narrative, in my opinion. If they did, they did, and we can't catch them. As conservatives, we need to move on from this continual perpetuation of stolen. And the reason why I say that is that if you cannot fix it, we need to pivot and do something different as far as our narrative. Because I've seen so many people not vote because they think it's all rigged. It's rigged. It don't matter if I vote or not. We cannot win that way, because these Democrats, they are not pushing the same narrative. They are going out and telling people, sign up here, sign up there, mail it in, drop it off, flip it around, toss it over. They doing everything they can to get as many votes in the ballot as they can. And we're telling our people, it's all stolen, so don't go and vote. We need to move on and teach people how to vote and start ballot harvesting where ballot harvesting is legal. And we need to start fighting them in the ways in which they are promoting election. I love Carrie Lake. I supported her in her campaign. But at this point, when the legal challenges have been exhausted, it's time to move on. It's time for conservatives in Arizona to have a strategy. I say this 1,000 times, and people, I always say this, people are going to get mad at me, so I'm just prefacing it for you. I say this a lot of times. I honestly believe that the rhetoric that Carrie Lake had wasn't what the Arizona people wanted. I loved it. I could vote for 400 times in a row if I could. However, people of Arizona don't want the divisiveness of some things that she said. Let me tell you this about Arizona. You have the MAGA Republicans in Arizona, and then you have the McCain Republicans in Arizona. And those are two different groups. And if you think you're going to win Arizona in any political battle, you are going to have to win over the MAGA Republicans and the McCain Republicans. You're not just going to go MAGA Republicans without the McCain Republicans. It's not going to happen. I say this all the time, and I'm going to repeat it, because once the truth comes out, then people are going to say, Brandon Tatum told me. I don't know why I didn't listen. If Karen Taylor Robeson would have won the primary in Arizona, she would have won the election by 300,000 votes. Why do you say that, Mr. Tatum? Because the MAGA Republicans, even though they would have been holding their nose, would have voted for Karen Taylor Robeson without a shadow of a doubt. And then all the McCain Republicans would have voted for Karen Taylor Robeson because that was their candidate. And then somebody like Doug Ducey, who won by 300,000 votes, would have came out and endorsed her. And that would have pushed her over the number that is necessary to win an election in the state of Arizona. The problem with Carrie Lake is when Carrie Lake started coming out against the McCain Republicans, what happened? Doug Ducey refused to endorse Carrie Lake. Karen Taylor Robeson, after her loss, refused to support Carrie Lake. And I would argue the 14,000 votes or so that Carrie Lake lost by, if she would have gotten the McCain Republicans in Arizona to vote for her, nobody would be talking about these ballots or the machines that was messing up on election day. And I'm going to say this, too, because conservatives looked at me like I had five heads. I said, do not only vote on election day. I know it sounds cute. It sounds patriotic. But do not only limit yourself to voting on one day. Here's the analogy that I give. I say if a company wanted to raise money and they said, and one company was Company A and Company B. Company A wants to raise money. Company B wants to raise money. If Company A says that you can give money online a whole week before this particular day, you can do it in person, online, you can walk it in, you can drop it off, you can give it to somebody to give it to somebody. And then you have Company B that says you can only give in person on this one day. Who you think gonna raise more money? Same thing with election. Who you think gonna get more votes? A person that's telling you can sit on the couch and do nothing and just mail that thing in. Your mom and them, her back hurt, tell her to mail it in. And if you got to work on election day, you don't got to take no day off work. Go the day before election day when you off. You can go ahead and vote on that day. Me and my wife voted early because I knew for a fact if they wanted to do something nefarious, they were going to do it on election day when everybody's out there voting. And so I say that to illustrate and articulate to you that we have to have a doggone strategy. A strategy isn't just arguing and bucking up against the system and acting as if you have virtue in the face of hating on leftists and liberals. We have to have a strategy. In the state of Arizona, if there's a Republican that's going to win, that Republican is going to have to be at least have a message for McCain Republicans and MAGA Republicans. You have to have a dueling message. You will not win Arizona if you don't have a dueling message. Let me just give you an example. Somebody who did it right, and I hate that this woman have won because she pimped the system harder than anybody else could have, and Republicans should be paying attention. I forget her name now. It's slipping my mind. She's the senator in Arizona. I forget her name. But help me with it, Sean. I can't think of her name for some odd reason. No, she's a senator. Kyrsten Sinema. Goodness gracious, why I couldn't think of Kyrsten Sinema. So Kyrsten Sinema has done something in a strategic way that Republicans are still asleep behind the wheel and doing. What did Kyrsten Sinema do? She ran on what she thought that people wanted to hear at the time. She got into office and she revealed who she really was. Kyrsten Sinema is managing as a middle ground type of a person. She don't always go with Republicans. She don't always go with Democrats. And then what did she do just recently? She ended up walking away from the Democratic Party, and now she's an independent. I would argue that it's going to be nearly impossible to get that woman out of office. Because in the middle ground of Arizona, most people who vote in Arizona are in the middle. They're independent voters. We are not a polarized state. Most of the people are independent. She tricked herself into being in a position where it's almost impossible to argue against her. Because all she's going to do, if you begin to argue your point and say, I agree with you on the border, then why would they not re-elect an incumbent? But I think that Republicans need to take note of what Kyrsten Sinema did. There is people that are competitively in the race for Senate. And I think Sheriff Lamb is one of them. Carrie Lake, I think, is jumping her name in the race. I will say this, and I'm going to be honest with you guys on radio. You heard it from me first. I honestly believe that Sheriff Lamb has a better opportunity than Carrie Lake for Senate. Why do you say that, Mr. Tatum? I love Carrie, but I think that some people are interpreting what she's doing as being too Trump-esque, that she's being Trump 2.0. And there's a lot of people in Arizona that's sick of the arguing and bickering. And she comes across that way. And I think she has good motives and I think she has a good heart. But the people are interpreting what she's doing, I would say, in a way in which is not conducive for them to vote for her. Someone who's in the middle, or at least you say you're in the middle, and then when you get elected, you can go far right off the cliff if you wanted to. But I think someone more in the middle, someone that haven't really went off the deep end and been almost a mimic of Donald Trump. I love Donald Trump, right? I vote for him again. If he was right here in front, I'll vote for him again. I'd vote for him six times as I could in 2020 to help him win, but it's against the law. However, I really do think that politicians in the Republican Party need to be more strategic. It's not enough to just rail against Democrats. I mean, Stevie Wonder can see that these Democrats ain't got no plan for America. However, it's not enough to just rail on Democrats. You have to have a mission. You have to give hope. You have to build unity. You know, I love Donald Trump, but I'm tired of the arguing and the bickering between people. I want somebody that's going to display themselves as a leader and is going to display themselves and say, this is what I will do for the country. I ain't got to talk about Ron DeSantis. I ain't got to talk about, you know, too much about Dead Man Joe. All I need to do is tell you, America, this is what I'm going to do for you. This is what my track record says. This is what I believe America's direction is going to be. And I wish that we had more people that will say that. And I think that we'll see an incredible difference. However, I don't see another person, unless Ron DeSantis comes out and he's incredibly competitive with Donald Trump in the primary, I don't see anybody beating Trump. And for sure, I'm going to cast my vote on Trump. I don't care if I didn't like him or not. I couldn't care less. He could go to jail today for whatever they were trying to get him on with the business fraud or whatever. He can go to jail today. I will vote for him from prison before I vote for another Democrat. I will vote for him from prison. I will go. He'd be on a jail call. You have a collect call from Donald Trump. And he could be like, hey, everybody, America first. I'm like, hey, Donald, where can I start voting? That's how committed I am to policies over personality. Ladies and gentlemen, hold the phone. I'll be back at the break. Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I want to tell you guys about the Angel Tree campaign that we're doing. You know why I love the Prison Fellowship and what they're doing, Angel Tree? It's because it's not something that I read in a book or a pamphlet somebody gave me. I literally have firsthand experience with family members who are incarcerated. I talk to my cousin Kevin all the time. He called me on the phone. I put money on his books. You know, they finally given him tablets and able for him to communicate with us. And I feel bad for him to a certain degree because I know him. We grew up together. He made a poor decision. And I believe God can reconcile him and he can build and mend the relationships. Let me tell you this. My cousin has been in prison since his kid was like 2 years old. He's been in there for 20 years. And it is our obligation, in my opinion, to protect the children of people who are incarcerated because they want to change what has happened and they want to do better. And many of the people that work with Prison Fellowship, they are people who are incarcerated that want to do better, that want to change their lives. They're getting in contact with God, all of these wonderful things and all of the beauty of reconciliation, all of those things are happening through Prison Fellowship. And we are going to be the hands and feet of the Lord Jesus, and we're going to help their children get to an incredible camp. I wish the people that are listening on the radio could see the video that I'm showing, and it shows videos of these kids at this camp, and it's absolutely incredible. Life changing. These people, these young kids will never be the same. Having the experience of going to a Christian-led camp, being able to build relationships and all of the things they would never have an opportunity to do, but we are going to make that happen. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to go to TheOfficerTatum.com, TheOfficerTatum.com. Click on the banner at the very top of my website and give as God has blessed you. $200 would help all expenses paid for a kid to go to the camp. So if God has blessed you in a tremendous way and you have $200 to give, or I would say sacrifice, I want you to give. And I don't want you to give grudgingly or of necessity, but be a cheerful giver when you give to Prison Fellowship. So go to the website. I want you to give the day. Be a blessing to somebody else. Ladies and gentlemen, I got so much that I want to talk about. I know people were probably upset with me, what I said about Carrie Lake, but it's the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me, God. It is unfortunate that we have not been able to compile enough evidence to prove some of these things that occurred in Maricopa County, that occurred in the Arizona election. And at this point, it's time to transition. And I'm not talking about transition like changing your gender. I'm talking about transition to another strategy in order to help people now encourage them to vote in a variety of different ways in order for us to beat these Democrats. Now, I want to go to another article that I was just reading earlier. Salacious high school yearbook rattles parents with pages on casual sex, drinking, and partying. At what point do parents take a stand and say, I'm no longer allowing my kids to be in an environment of debauchery and be at a school where they ain't teaching them nothing but to be liberal maniacs? All that they're doing in some of these school systems are brainwashing your kids. They're not teaching them anything. They're teaching them how to be woke. They're teaching your kids how to talk about transgender. No, teach them math. They don't need to know nothing about sex. They need to know about math. They need to know how to build relationships. They need to understand finances. Why can't you teach the kid finances instead of telling them about oral sex and all kind of old crazy stuff that they're teaching your kids today? Let me tell you where this is leading. And people that listen to me, you hear me say this all the time. This is leading to pedophilia. They want to desensitize your children. They want to mold them and groom them so they are a perpetual victims in the future that they can take advantage of. I was listening to this article, and I don't know where it came from. I don't know if this guy was actually a pedophile and he was speaking from prison, or the guy was just informed about the way pedophilia works. He was saying that they target certain kids that are vulnerable, kids that do not have fathers, kids that are shy and in a corner or isolating themselves. Those are the kids that pedophiles target. And this is exactly what they're trying to create in your children. If daddy's not around, what is the school system trying to teach your kids? That maybe because you're confused, because you have trauma in your life, because you miss your father, you never had a father in your life, or your trauma means that you're trans. And I tell you this, some young people have an identity crisis, and they may not feel confident. They may not feel, you know, some kids are isolated. They're outcasts. But you know how to not be an outcast? According to the left lunatics that teach at these schools, is for you to now become a protected class. If you were a transgender kid, people will be talking about you. You will be, they'll have flags for you, and they'll be singing your praises. If you were, a part of the LGBTQ and all this other stuff, then you could become somebody. And they trick these kids into doing these things. I said this, I don't know what I said. I've been talking for like 15 hours a day. But I had made mention that one of the things that they do to children that I think is completely asinine, and I don't know how our country don't stop this from happening, is that they lie to children in the transition stuff, in the transgender stuff. They lie to these kids. They tell a 5-year-old, a 7-year-old, a 15-year-old, a prepubescent kid that you can be a woman. They don't have the courage to explain to a young boy who's confused what a woman really is. A woman isn't subject to makeup, lipstick, and a dress. That don't make you a woman. There's a lot of other things that are biological that make women women. And I think that that's something in society that we should celebrate, that something that we should honor, we should respect, we shouldn't pimp out. And I think it's funny because we talk about blackface. You have a white person wearing blackface and impersonating a caricature of an ignorant black person. People are upset about blackface. What about womanface? Where you have a man with genitalia of a man impersonating a woman. How disrespectful is that? That you have the gall to somehow live as a man your whole life, and then in 30 minutes you get all the benefits of being a woman. Women have been fighting for an incredibly long time for equality in this country, and you get the transition in 30 minutes, you get the transition in a year, and somehow you get the benefits of all the women that have been fighting this long for equality? How dare you? I think it's so disrespectful for people who become trans that don't actually respect women. Leah Thomas, the man, do not respect women, and is shameful. And I will say this, and I'm not trans. I don't go through that in my mind, and if I did, I wish y'all would pray for me. Don't throw me off a cliff and tell me to put a dress on. But if Leah Thomas, the man, really cared about women and really had an honor and respect for women, why would you then take advantage of women in the swimming pool? Why would you then take your narrow behind in that locker room and pull your pants down and expose your genitalia to women? Let me tell you how crazy this is, because nobody going to tell y'all this but me, and I got 1 minute. When I was in the locker room, men in the locker room, we didn't always drop our stuff, man. You had a towel, and you talk to another man with a towel, and you keep your eyes right here. Then why, if that men do that, then why would Leah Thomas go in a locker room full of women, attracted to women, and drop his underwear all the way down to where he's exposing his genitalia to women? That man is sick and don't care about women. He has his own nefarious purposes for transitioning just to beat these women over the head and swimming. He should be ashamed of himself, and I have zero respect for people that do that. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
Make America godly again. The Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. Let me tell you about an incredible company, and I absolutely love them because I love my country and I have so much respect for veterans. Veteran-owned cell phone network that have the best prices on planet Earth. I don't even know how they do prices like this. I call them crackhead prices. I don't know how they're able to give you unlimited talk, text. Well, I guess I know how they can do it because they don't have all these stores and all this overhead like some of these major corporations, and they don't even use them. You're literally paying for stores you'll never walk into. But unlimited talk, unlimited text, unlimited data for $55 a month. And you not only get unlimited talk, text, and data for $55 a month. You ain't going to find that anywhere else. You also get a free Samsung Galaxy phone, 5G network phone on the most dependable network in the United States of America. I don't know how you can pass over this. I have a PureTalk phone, and I literally want to get everybody at my that work for me a PureTalk phone and either convert them or pay for it for them, because it's an incredible service, incredible phone, and you're supporting a veteran customer service right here in the United States of America. All you got to do is dial #250 and say Brandon Tatum. That's #250, say Brandon Tatum, and get you a free Galaxy Samsung phone and unlimited talk, text, and unlimited data for $55 a month. You better take advantage of it because you ain't gonna find it nowhere else. Let me continue here. We had Glenn Kuiper get fired for saying the N-word with the hard R. He didn't say it like your favorite rapper with the A on the end. He said "er." And do I think he should have gotten fired? No. Listen, let me say this. I don't know why these Fabergé eggs of society get offended at the N-word. I could not care less if someone says that it has no power. But see, the main people that says it don't have power are affected by it every single day of their life. It's okay when your favorite rapper say it, but if you let a white person rap your favorite rapper song, now you hurt and you want to go all the way back to slavery. And why can't we be honest and say, hey, man, there's white people probably say the N-word, too. I mean, they may not mean it in a negative way. Maybe they listen to too much rap music. Now, Glenn Kuiper, and I'm going to play the clip for you guys that are listening. I'm going to play the clip, and therefore you can see why he got fired. And then we're going to explain why I think that they maybe should have suspended him, allowed him to apologize, and for him to retain his job. I swear he's been in radio and doing broadcasting for decades. The guy is literally a legend and lost it all from accidentally saying the N-word, which it was a confusing word, Negro and then, the R. Roll the clip.
We had a phenomenal day today. League Museum. And Arthur Bryant's barbecue.
Coffin, welcome back to Coffin Stadium. I just wanted to, a little bit earlier in the show, I said something didn't come out quite the way I wanted it to. And I just wanted to apologize if.
I feel bad for him, man. I don't think he really meant to say that.
And you ain't black.
He said interleague.
And you ain't
I
black.
I think he was trying to say Negro League Museum. And he accidentally said the N-word. You know, it's kind of weird, though, because. He must say that a lot because I grew up saying the N-word, every single word out of my mouth, every rap song, every in this, in that, in that. I remember one time I felt bad about it. I was in college and me and my friends used to say the N-word to each other all the time. And we at a university with nothing but white people. And one time we got real crazy. We were saying in, and the white people were looking at us like, and I felt bad. I said, you know what? We sound real stupid out here saying the N-word. But even as much as I've said it in my entire life, I don't think I would ever slip and say it in meaning Negro and say the N-word. So, you know, Glenn may have been saying the hard R for a long time. Does that make the man racist? I don't think so. It's just a word. It's just a word. And I don't understand why people give that word so much power. It's no different than any other ignorant word that somebody would say or a derogatory word. Let me just say this. And I know it's controversial for me to say this. And people say, you are Uncle Tom. You are sellout coon because I say this. Just because a person you or say the word doesn't necessarily mean they're racist. Let me give you an example. I have never engaged with a racist person a day in my life that I know of. Maybe in their subconscious, they may feel like they're racist. But a man ain't never been racist to me publicly. But I've had two people call me the N-word while I was a police officer. And you have to be mindful and have wisdom to interpret what's going on here. We were at a house in an apartment complex where all they doing is thugging all night. We literally at the apartment complex, probably 60% of our calls. I'll tell y'all a story. You're not going to believe this. A meth head actually gave birth in the parking lot at this apartment complex. The baby came out in the parking lot and she ran and bit off the umbilical cord. You're not going to believe this. She bit off the umbilical cord and they end up taking the baby from her and rushing her to the hospital, taking her to the hospital. They took her baby from her, but she literally gave birth in the middle of the apartment complex on the asphalt. Anyway, this apartment complex is ratchet. So we out there, we got guns drawn on somebody that had a gun or shots was fired or something like that. We proned out. We're trying to make sure we navigate the situation. We are getting people away from the area, and this fool was upset because I told him to get out of the way, and he called me the N-word. I'll tell you the story after the break. I got to tell you guys about Relief Factor before we get to the break. If you're looking for a solution to aches and pains, if you're looking for a supplement that works, if you're looking for a supplement that don't require you to go to get a prescription and get on a drug that leads you to another drug and a drug and a drug from another drug, you should consider Relief Factor 100% drug-free. And my mother-in-law takes it. And it's funny, before I ever promoted Relief Factor on here, my mother-in-law was taking two times a day. She tells me two times a day, keep the pain away. So it is incredible. It works for her. It works for me. And I'm 36 years old. So you don't have to be a certain age to take Relief Factor. And I would argue it's not for elderly people to take. I think it's a drug that you can take if you're dealing with inflammation issues. And it's not a drug, but it's a supplement that you take if you are wanting to be proactive about dealing with these issues before they get out of control. So go to ReliefFactor.com or call the number 800-4-RELIEF. Stop doing the one shine. Bubba shot the jukebox last night.
Listen, how many of y'all know that the king is alive?
Woo! Come on now, get in line with it. Sing it out, tell him God did it. He beat the grave and he's still living. Risen to set the soul free.
I want to tell you guys about the real Anthony Fauci. If you are looking for an incredible, I guess, articulation of what Anthony Fauci really did to the United States of America, and a little bit of, I blame Trump because he should have fired him a long time ago. Anyway, if you're looking for a tremendous story that tells the full unadulterated truth about Anthony Fauci, go to therealanthonyfauci.com to watch the movie today, therealanthonyfauci.com. You do not want to miss this. I think everybody is questioning what happened during COVID-19. What is the inspiration to shut the country down, let the strip club stay open, but your church have to close down? You can find out more at TheRealAnthonyFauci.com. Go see the movie today. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I want to finish that story I was telling you about. So I told you about the meth head that literally gave birth in the parking lot of this apartment complex, which, you know, it's funny to me because I'm telling you the honest to God truth. It's on record. I'm pretty sure they still have the 911 call. And I could not believe my ears when I heard it, is that the woman had given birth. Somebody called 911 and said the lady is now running with the baby with the umbilical cord still hanging, and she bit the umbilical cord off. And that tell you how much drugs she was taking. Hopefully the baby is okay. I don't remember. I know they took it from her. However, there was a dude that said, that called me the N-word. Because, you know, sometimes in policing, you have to use your authority and be very confident in what you say to people and direct them where they need to go so they don't get killed. So this person is shooting out of apartment complex, allegedly. You know, he didn't shoot at us, but that was the report. And so we had guns drawn. We didn't know if this guy was going to come out shooting. We didn't want innocent bystanders. So this guy's hanging around doing a looky-loo. And I said, hey, man, you need to move around because we don't want you to get hurt. And he was like, I don't have to do nothing. I said, man, you better get out of here right now. I'm going to take you to jail. And he said, you ain't going to do nothing for me, N-word. And so, you know, I'm not going to lie. I kind of feel some type of way. But at the end of the day, is that an example of racism? Or is that an example of a man saying something to me that he thought would trigger me? He wanted to hurt me. What can you say to a black person in modern society, not this black person, but other black people? What can you say in modern society to hurt them and make them more upset? Even if you really don't believe it, but you know it's something to attack somebody on. Do a man really hate women because he called them a bee? I think it's disrespectful, but maybe a man calls a woman a bee because he wants to upset her and make her mad, and that's the only word that he know how to use in order to get under her skin. Now, of course, he could be a dog, which I think you're a dog if you call a woman a bee anyway, and I think you are inappropriate if you call anybody the N-word. I don't care if they black, white, green, or orange. However, does that necessarily mean the person is racist? Had another situation, and I ain't going to lie to y'all. I was kind of wrong in this situation because I shouldn't have gone that far. And many people have never heard this story about me, and I don't share it much because I'm kind of embarrassed that I did it, but I'm going to tell you today anyway. So I was on a call. It's the end of the day. I was on a 12-hour shift in the state of Arizona. I had long-sleeve uniforms because I have tattoos all over my arms, and I couldn't show my – so I'm burning up, mind you. 12 hours, I'm tired, I'm fatigued. All I've been doing is dealing with drama all day with all these people. Last call of the day is a person who owned a U-Haul company, and the dude is – not a U-Haul company, but a tow company, and the dude is complete fraud. Now, as a Christian man, I tried to give him a fresh start, right? Went to his call. Everybody hated him, said, man, don't get it, do no time. I said, you know, as a Christian man, I'm a give him a fair shot, and I'm going to let that man determine – or let me determine how I feel about him based on his reaction to me. I spent hours investigating this thing for him. We go back to his call this other day. It could have been like 2 or 3 weeks later. And he was upset because what this man would do is that without people calling, he would just go by and tow people's cars. The owner of the building wouldn't even call on people. He would just go see their cars parked in the zone and he'll go tow it. And in the state of Arizona, a lot of people don't know this, is you don't have to pay the tow truck company. You don't have to pay them. It's not a mechanical lien. You can literally go to the tow truck company and say, I want my car right now. And if you don't, you can call the police, and the police will force them to give you your car back. So really, the onus is on the person who called in the tow. So this guy actually goes out and tows people's car for no reason. So they come there, and of course, they're livid. We get there, and my partner is a lot shorter than me. He's probably like 5'6". So he's a smaller guy. And so this guy is berating him. And I'm fed up by the end of the day. And he's talking real crazy to one of my officers. And I said, hey, man, look. You better stop talking to him like that. We'll leave. You're not going to disrespect us and think we're going to sit here and take it. We'll leave. We won't take this call. And we kind of got into an argument. And I said, he said, well, what you want to do? Like, he want to fight me. And I said, well, let's fight then if you want to fight. I said, I'll take my badge and everything. I'll whoop you right here in his yard. You done messed with the wrong person. And I was really upset enough to actually fight this guy. Thank God my partner was like, man, don't do it. Don't do it. But the dude called me the N-word. And so then it was more fuel. I was like, oh, I'm finna serve this guy, and I'll go do another job. But I'm finna serve him today. But after a while, you know, I came to my senses, and I said, you know what, that's not the appropriate way to act. But it was that man a racist? That's the real question. And I don't think he was a racist. I think what he wanted to do, because he wasn't going to get the best of me physically, he couldn't psychologically get the best of me. So he said, if I say the N-word to this man, I'm going to make him be upset and I win this argument. So in my mind, when it comes to the N-word, it's not just the word being spewed. It's the context in which the word is being spoken of. I remember this sorority. They were doing a Kanye West song. I ain't saying she a gold digger, but I ain't messing with no broke. And then the girls were singing it. And they said, I ain't messing with no broke. And they hit the A on it. They didn't even do the ER. And they got canceled. They had to come and apologize for singing Kanye West song. They didn't have to apologize for buying a record. They didn't have to apologize for the download that he put in his pocket and the publishing company or the record label put in their pocket. But somehow white people can buy your music, but they can't say all your words. To me, that's asinine. So I think that we as a society should not use the N word. We shouldn't even use curse words, if you ask me. I think we should all operate with a sense of integrity and watching the things that come out of our mouth. I remember my pastor used to teach this. Now pastors be cussing in the pulpit. They go and cuss and say, it's a pastor, Tim Ross. He's the head pastor over, I forget the guy's name. It's going to come back to me. He has the church in Oklahoma. And that dude is really weird. I knew something was off with him. But I said, you know, let me not judge people. Let me just listen to what he has to say and if it's matching up with the scripture or not. But Tim Ross was on a podcast. Huh? No. It's a guy. He's a black guy. he did a crazy thing on Easter and got backlash for it. Michael Todd, there you go. Michael Todd. Well, Tim Ross is his spiritual leader or something crazy that they didn't concoct it. But Tim Ross was on a podcast, and he said God has called him to cuss. And I said, Lord Jesus of Nazareth, the Nazarene, why would a Christian say something that stupid? God ain't called you to start cussing. It's just that you can't watch your mouth and you don't have enough integrity to stop doing what you know to do when you were in the world, and now you want to blame God on it. The same, it's the same thing when he did a sermon. I'll get to it. He did a sermon about being a stripper, and he called Jesus a stripper. He said the only stripper that we love is Jesus. He was stripping on the cross, and I said, God, you going straight to hell. Anyway, let me tell you guys about TatumStore.com. TatumStore.com, if you're looking for incredible merch, the new merch that we came out with is our Father's Day line. We have Old School Fathers, one of our shirts. We have a Father's Matter, is one of our shirts. And then we also have the shirt that says Dad Up. I thought that shirt would be incredibly popular. Some people like it. I thought it would be way popular than what it is. But Dad Up is a concept like Man Up. You just man up. You need to dad up. Dads need to step up and take their rightful position that God has called them to be and lead their family. So anyway, all you have to do is go to TatumStore.com, TatumStore.com. Put in discount code TatumShow20. So we know you came from the store, and we're going to give you a 20% off discount. TatumShow20, 20% off the entire store, TatumStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. Let me tell you about the Salem News Channel. If you're looking for incredible conservative speakers, the best in the country, I would argue. And I'm not biased because I work with Salem, but I would argue that name somebody that's better than Dennis Prager. Name somebody that's better than Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher. Mike Gallagher is off the chain. I mean, they've been doing radio for like 40 years. Dennis Prager told me, I went to one of these events, he's been radio for 40 years. I'm not even 40. Name somebody better than some of these incredible. Charlie Kirk, one of the young up-and-coming stars. I say up-and-coming, the guy's already a star. Nobody's doing it like Charlie Kirk. Nobody's doing it like, I would say, Sebastian Gorka. Have you ever listened to Sebastian Gorka? Sebastian Gorka's show is off the chain. I mean, that guy's way more exciting, I think, than I am. I couldn't believe it. I went on Sebastian Gorka's show not too long ago, and he was on fire. I mean, he didn't even stop. He was just going and going and going and going. Salem News Channel is where you find all of your conservative talkers who are incredible, incredible, incredible. And I can't forget about Will Cow. I met him. He's the loudest talking person on planet Earth. But go to SalemNewsChannel.com, SalemNewsChannel.com, or you can download the Salem News Channel on the Android or iPhone, depending on which device you use, or the Roku. All right, let me get back to the subject at hand. The designer behind one of Target's brand partnerships for Pride Month was revealed to have an affinity for Satanism. Surprise, surprise, puppy surprise. I'm not shocked with these debaucherous people that are doing debaucherous things that they believe in Satan. Let me say this, because I know a lot of people get turned off to a certain degree with Christianity, because people have gotten religious and they haven't really developed relationship. Religion will turn you off from a relationship with Christ. Relationship will turn you on to the truth of Jesus Christ. The problem that I see, and I've been wanting to talk about church this whole time, and I'm glad I got another hour to talk about this. The problem that I see in church is they want to be cute and build these sermons, and they go all the way to Romans and Ephesians. When you at church on a Sunday, you need to preach the gospel. If you want to preach outside of the gospel, let me, it's a pastor that I love. His name was Johnny James, apostolic pastor. They called him the walking Bible. He used to preach without the Bible, and he could rehearse every scripture in the Bible that he could reference in his mind, and he never used the Bible not one time. He could tell you any scripture in the Bible just about. But what he said was, quit reading somebody else's mail. If you have people who are not saved, Romans, after the book of Acts, have nothing to do with people who are not saved. You should be preaching the gospel to people so they can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's really unfortunate and sad that I had been going to church my whole life and never heard the gospel. It wasn't until I went to Emmanuel Grace Apostolic Church and Bishop Arthur Pierce preached about Jesus saying, I'm the only way. And Bishop used to make an analogy of the door. He said, you can't go under it. You can't go around it. You got to go through the door. And for the first time, I heard the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Not all that fancy stuff people like to preach and hoop and holler and make you feel some type of way and try to equate the Bible to today's modern world. It's that he preached the gospel, and that gospel is enough to change you in and of itself. Hold the phone. I didn't run out of time. I'll be back after the break. Officer Tatum Show. Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. And it's been an incredible time here at NRB. This is my first time being here. It's out in Orlando. I keep wanting to say Tampa, but we're out in Orlando, Florida. It's been an amazing event. It's good to see a bunch of Christian people and others who are broadcasting and have incredible stories. I've met so many people here, and it blows my mind. I cannot keep up with it. My brain is hurting meeting so many people that do so many different wonderful, great things. And today, I have a special guest, Frank Gaffney. Frank, you wrote a book exposing the Chinese Communist Party and their affiliation in part to the United States of America and the crooks that live here that support the criminal behavior that the CCP is projecting. And also you expose what that means for America. I know a lot of people nag and complain about the CCP, but what does that mean for America and how do we fix it? So, Frank, I want you to articulate to my audience, give them the name of the book and talk to them a little bit about the inspiration behind the book and what's in the book.
Well, thanks for having me. The book is entitled The Indictment. Its subtitle is Prosecuting the Chinese Communist Party and Friends for Crimes Against America, China, and the World.
Yes.
And the idea is to take kind of the distilled essence of about 70 webinars our Committee on the Present Danger China, of which I'm the vice chairman, have done over the past 11 months or so, looking at two specific topics. One, what do the Chinese mean when they talk about, and more to the point, wage unrestricted warfare against our country? What's that entail? What's the damage that's been done? And what do we do about it? Topic one. Topic two is, who in this country has been helping them do all that? Their friends, as they call them. And there's so much content there. What we were trying to do basically was try to make it accessible. So we've got kind of the highlights of the insights, the recommendations, and the analyses of the best people in the business that we've made sort of the essence of this in 9 different charges against the Chinese Communist Party, starting with the most egregious of all, which is their crimes against humanity.
Yes.
They've killed, by some estimates, and I think they're conservative, frankly, 100 million people.
That is absolutely
100 million people, and that doesn't count 400 million they boast about killing in the womb.
Right.
Which could be even as high as 500 million now. Nothing in history has ever, I've put them all together. Every bad guy on the planet never got any close. So the reason for starting with that is not only the egregiousness of it, but also, think about it. A regime, a party, a, more to the point, transnational criminal organization that does that to its own people? Not likely to treat ours very well, that's for sure.
Right. I want you to talk about Joe Biden to a certain, because I think that Stevie Wonder can see that Joe Biden is knee-deep in conflict, or not just conflict, but entanglement of the crimes that are coming from the Chinese Communist Party. And not only is Donald Trump, but not only is Joe Biden, but also his son and others who are in our government right now and believing, and I believe that they've sold our country out.
Yeah.
So can you just talk a little bit about Joe Biden before we run out of time? But I want you to talk about Joe Biden and his affiliation with the CCP.
Joe Biden is the poster child of what I'm talking about in terms of this elite capture, which is one of the most important lines of attack of this unrestricted warfare. Joe Biden is complicit, you're absolutely right, in the crimes the Chinese Communist Party has been engaged in against us, war crimes, we call them. 8 different ones we identify: economic warfare, political warfare, energy warfare, subversion, not least the use of biological weapons against us. Joe Biden has not only been, you know, complicit, he has been enabling it. In fact, I think that the right way to think about his presidency is virtually everything he's done in domestic and foreign policy has 2 characteristics. One, it's bad for America. And 2, it's benefiting the Chinese Communist Party. So we'd make the case that this can't continue, because where we are now is all that pre-kinetic warfare has put the Chinese in a position where they are emboldened and capable, they think, that's what matters, they think, of waging the old-fashioned kind of warfare against us, the shooting kind. We need to deter it. We've got 20 recommendations for defeating the Chinese Communist Party rather than allowing them to get away with destroying our country.
I love that. Frank, if you had to sum up what your expectation is for people who read this book, and it's also forwarded by Steve Bannon, mm-hmm. which is incredible. And so people, I know a lot of people know who Steve Bannon is as well. But what do you want people to take from this book? Like, ultimately, when somebody reads this book, just say, I read the book and I've consumed the knowledge that you guys spent so much time putting together in a very, I could say, balanced and fair way of putting the charges together where people can read it. It's not a big old crazy thick book.
It's
really reasonable. But what do you want people to leave with after they read this book? What call to action?
Well, Steve Bannon likes to say action, action, action.
Yes.
I want him to take aboard, hopefully, an understanding of what we're up against and the importance of the sorts of steps that we've talked about mm-hmm. for doing something about it. And then I want them to do what was done in my youth. The American people were given a choice by Ronald Reagan, a man I subsequently worked for, between continuing to engage, they called it détente, a fancy French term at the time, but it was basically appeasing the Soviet Union, the existential threat of our time mm-hmm. back then, or, as Ronald Reagan offered, to roll it back, to put it on the ash heap of history. We win, they lose, peace through strength. The American people overwhelmingly gave him a mandate. He executed on that mandate, and the rest, as they say, is history. We need a similar course correction. So I want everybody reading this book, everybody in your audience hopefully taking aboard the contents of it and getting in the grill of the people representing them, first of all, to make sure that they're not working for the other team,
which is
a huge problem.
Right.
We need to get rid of those folks, move them out of office. We can't face the prospect of fighting a shooting war, for heaven's sake, with people leading us who are batting for the other team. Can't be done.
Right.
And then I want them to make sure that they act on the recommendations here, because we can save our country, but the hour is very late, and it's going to be up to God at the end of the day. His grace is going to be instrumental, so I hope they'll start with prayer.
Yes, yes. God bless you. Frank Gaffney, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your book and sharing your thoughts. And I think you're right on the money. More people need to know about China and what they're really up against. I was talking to somebody the other day about the Falun Gong. And I remember watching a documentary where they would harvest their organs. Mm-hmm. This was a thing. They imprisoned them for no reason.
Still doing it.
Government sanctioned. They imprisoned them for no reason, and they would harvest their organs live. Mm-hmm. And that means that a person can get organs on demand, because they say, hey, I need a heart. We can turn that heart around in 24 hours, because we'll go to the Falun Gong in prison, remove the heart while the person is alive, mm-hmm. put it in another person almost on the spot. The atrocities that go on in China is asinine to me, and why our country is even favorable to them whatsoever is beyond measure. I feel like we could do business with other people in a way that's more, I guess, representative of our values than the Communist Party. And I hope that people realize that they want communism in the United States of America. Now I say we're a long way off, but that could be 15 years, 10 years. It depends on how a person believes it. But I think that's what they ultimately want to do. Can you tell people in the last few minutes that we have here, how can they find your book? How can they find more of your statements on why you wrote the book and other literature and possibly documents that you've created to express this your facts, I wouldn't say opinion, the facts that are in this book?
Sure. It's called The Indictment. It's available wherever books are sold. Okay. It's a number one bestseller, I'm pleased to say, in Amazon's four categories, including national and international security. It draws on a wealth of information at presentdangerchina.org. You can see every single one of these webinars. If you get the book, you can use a QR code to pull them up. But they're all there. You can subscribe to them. And there's a wealth of other content. My organization that sponsors the committee is the Center for Security Policy. That's at securefreedom.org. Also, a lot of content. And then I've got a television show at Real America's Voice.
Awesome.
And you can find out about that at securingamerica.tv.
Thank you so much, Frank. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Frank Gaffney. Thank you so much for coming on. God bless you. And thank you for doing this for our country. We need more men like you that are willing to step up, give facts and proof on what the real problem with the CCP really is and how that affects us here in America. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, you listen to The Officer Tatum Show. Call in 844-900-7243. 844-900-7243. Hold the phone. Ladies and gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to The Officer Tatum Show. I want to tell you guys about the incredible, incredible nonprofit organization, Prison Fellowship. Now, we've done campaigns in the past on this radio show, and we have absolutely dominated Prison Fellowship because people are convinced and encouraged that doing well by other people and helping those in need is a tremendous strategy, not only to bless yourself, but to bless other people. And I will say, what other way can you show God that you're thankful for all the blessings that he's given you by blessing other people? There's no other way to do it but doing that. Bless them with your lifestyle and then also giving. So I want you guys to consider supporting this nonprofit organization. And so what this campaign is, it's a summer campaign. We do it every single year. You know, Larry Elder, when he was on the radio, he was doing the same thing. And we want to send as many young people whose parents are incarcerated, send them to summer camp. And it's not just any summer camp. The kids ain't going to go somewhere and get indoctrinated. They're going to be talking about 15 genders. They're going to go to summer camp and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and build relationships and learn skills and things that they would never be able to accomplish, given the fact that their parents are incarcerated. And you're listening from a guy who has family members who are in prison. My cousin is still in prison. He's been in prison for 20 years. And I love what Prison Fellowship is doing because it means so much to my heart. And I feel like reconciliation through this organization is a great way to give back. So go to theofficertatum.com, theofficertatum.com. Click on a banner at the very top of my website and consider giving, not grudgingly or of necessity, but be a cheerful giver and giving to the Lord by blessing his people. Let's talk about the church real quick. I was on the panel earlier today, and people really enjoyed what I had to say. And one reason is because I just speak the truth, and I'm not holding back. I think it's incredibly invaluable for Christians to be bold, to be courageous in their stands for Jesus Christ. What's the purpose? Are you even, if you're going to be lukewarm, if you're going to be straddling the fence, why do all this? You might, because the Bible says that you're going to get spewed out and spit out at the end anyway. So while you're straddling the fence, you might as well be in the world. You might be having fun, getting drunk every weekend, doing everything that you want to do. Because if you're in the middle, you just as well as being off to the side. So if you're going to commit, it is invaluable that you take it seriously. And I was saying this before the break, is that the problem that I see in society is people have more of a connection with religion than they do relationship. At churches, some churches, not all, they teach you how to be religious. They teach you to fall in love with religion. They don't teach you to fall in love with God and have a personal relationship. And that's what's so important. And that's the reason why I do what I do every day, because I had an experience with God. I have a relationship with God. They burn every church building down in America, and it's not going to affect the relationship that I have with God. And I wish that people who are called, who have relationships, will step up and preach, other than people who are calling themselves. There's a difference between God calling you to something and you calling yourself. There's a difference between God calling you to ministry and you going to seminary school and getting you a degree and deciding to start your own church. I think there's a difference there. And we need more people who are called and who are courageous and bold and are willing to preach the gospel in a difficult time. It's not always easy to tell the truth to your friends when you know they'll walk away from you if you actually told them the truth. But I honestly believe that Jesus is not looking for people who are complacent. He's not looking for people who are passive aggressive in the gospel. He's looking for people who are willing to stand. Jesus said, if you deny me before man, I'm going to deny you before the Father. Did you think he was playing? That's all I want to know. Did you think Jesus was joking? No, I think Jesus was serious. So as a church, as pastors, as lay members, as Christians, we should be on fire acknowledging who God is and the purpose of Jesus Christ. And I said this earlier, and I know some people were probably upset with me saying this, but there is no separation of church and state. I don't know what mythical theology that somebody then tricked somebody into, but there is no separation of church and state, especially not for me. Everything that I do, I sprinkle Jesus on top of it. Everything that I do. If I'm on the radio, I'm sprinkling Jesus. If I'm at my job, I'm sprinkling Jesus. If I somehow become a pastor, it's all about Jesus. It ain't nothing about Brandon Tatum and the acceleration of Brandon Tatum's brand. It's about Jesus. And if I'm a politician and now I'm in Congress or I'm the president of the United States of America, I'm sprinkling Jesus all over that. You ain't going to catch me being a president of the United States of America and I'm not going to pray. And I'm not going to glorify God. I cannot understand how people who have had an encounter with God are afraid to stand up for God. If you are going to exist in society as a Christian, and Jesus told his apostles how to pray, and I think I'm going to get in trouble for saying this. I think most Christians don't take what Jesus said seriously. Some of them don't even know what Jesus said, and others think he was just making a suggestion. He was just playing with y'all. Jesus told us how to pray. And then the part of the prayer was that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does that mean? That means that it doesn't matter what position you are in society, God's will needs to be done here on earth. And I love my brothers and sisters who are of other faiths. I love you. I appreciate you. But the will of the Father in heaven will be done on earth. And we live in America, and I'm going to push Christianity in America. I honestly believe that we should be infiltrating every end of society as Christians. Every end of society. We should, because other people do it. Other religions are doing it. They go get a position, and then they hire all the people that are the same religion and the same religious belief system. Why don't Christians do that? And I'll tell you, at my job, I'm on the company, and the people that I hire, I tell them this very clearly when they come to the interview. We are a conservative Christian organization. And my COO, when he interviews before they make it to me to get the interview, and they say, hey, I just want to make sure you're good with this. We're a conservative Christian organization. You need to go look up the owner's social media and make sure you're good with this. And we had a guy that we hired, and we played Christian music. We played Christian music in our headquarters in the open areas. We played, and then in our warehouse, they playing worship music in there while they fulfilling your orders. They playing worship music. A dude ended up quitting after day one because he couldn't get with the program. Well, am I going to feel bad for you? Am I going to say, oh, man, please, we'll turn down the Christian music? No, I'm going to turn it up. And then Jesus, now I'm going to throw some holy water on you while you're running out of here. I think that Christians should be radical. What's the problem with being radical? Everything I touch needs to have a remnant of the love of Jesus Christ. And it's not conditional. It's not that I go around my friends who are Jewish and I go, oh, let me not talk about Jesus around my Jewish friend. No, I'm talking about Jesus. You can talk about what you want to talk about. I'm talking about Jesus. I'm not going around my friends who are atheists. I mean, I don't have really good friends that are atheists. All my friends are Christians. But people that I go around that I have respect for, but they may not be apprised to the truth. I'm not finna dumb down Jesus because you ain't figured it out yet. I'm not going to change what I believe because Jesus ain't changed on me. The moment that Jesus don't bless me and deny me and will not accept my salvation, then that's when I change. But according to the Bible, that'll never change. It's here for eternity. So forever, as long as I have breath in my body and when I leave this place, I'm going to forever give glory to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
With foes on my left and fears on my right, they think that I'm all by myself in this fight. But they do not know the infinite size of the God who is by my side. Hey, under fire, but my Goliath, standing in the shadow of the Almighty.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I want to tell you guys about this incredible cell phone company called Pure Talk. You will never, and I can almost guarantee this, but... You know, I don't want to get sued on the radio for guaranteeing this, but I can almost guarantee, I think that's a good word, that you will not find prices like this anywhere in America, any cell phone company, Verizon, AT&T, you name it. You ain't going to get unlimited talk, text, and unlimited data for $55 a month. You ain't getting it. And also, when you sign up with Peer Talk and you get the $55 a month for the unlimited talk, text, and data, you also get a free Galaxy Samsung phone. And it's a value in which costs a lot of money, but they're giving it to you for free. And it's because they love you guys, because you, my listeners, they want to hook you up. So once you go to, you don't have to go to a website. All you have to do is dial #250 and say Brandon Tatum. That's #250 and say Brandon Tatum. So not only are you getting an incredible deal, you're also supporting a veteran-owned company and also a company that believes in having customer service right here in the United States of America, supporting American business. So I love Peer Talk because not only do I stand behind them, they support me as well on the radio. So go to or dial #250 and say Brandon Tatum. All right, let me get back to the subject at hand. I always forget what I'm talking about during the break because, I'm talking about the church. And, you know, people are shocked to some degree that I talk about God so much on a radio show. And it just, to me, it illustrates the difference between having a true experience and having a religious experience. There is a form of godliness, but people deny the power thereof. There's a big difference there. And I pray and I hope that churches begin to grow spiritually. There are so many churches that are out there that do not preach spiritual anything. It's all carnal and natural. It's all emotional. You know, some churches at the end of the church service, they don't even pray for people. They just, they trying to get you out of there because they got three more services. I'm under the impression that when God is moving, the time clock on the board should have no effect. This one thing that used to really bother me at churches, even, you know, that's why I feel like churches shouldn't be that big, is that the praise and worship music is playing and people are having an encounter with God. They're worshiping, they're experiencing, they're getting chains are being broken. And then they got to cut the worship song out because pastor got to preach his sermon. It bothers me when I see those things happening in church. To me, that is religion. And the religion prevents a lot of people from being exposed to relationship. One thing that my pastor used to always say, and I loved it, he said, don't believe me, believe the Bible. He go through and he read the scripture. He said, this is what the Bible say. Boom, 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 boom. Don't believe me, go read this Bible yourself. That's what my pastor used to say. They don't do that at churches today in many cases. They get up there and they preach all this fancy stuff and they get you emotional and they tell you about Romans and Ephesians and all this other stuff. I try not to be controversial with this, but I really do wish pastors would preach the gospel on Sunday morning. You ain't got to get fancy, man. You can get fancy in the Bible study. Preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is something about the gospel that set people free. You ain't got to be some charismatic guy that can hoop and holler and sing and make people cry at the altar. Just read the gospel. I think God have enough power that just the words of the testimony of Jesus Christ, the word of God, is enough to change people's lives and convince them to build the relationship, not build the religious perspective. So I want to see more pastors become bold, more pastors get back to the truth. You know, I do appreciate the 501c3 status. I appreciate that. It's an ability for pastors to be able to get donations. People get tax credit for it. But sometimes it can become an incredible obstacle, and people use that as leverage to get wealth, fame, and fortune, and they don't care nothing about the Bible anymore. It's like every time I see pastors who are wearing $1,000 tennis shoes, $4,000 suits, they leave the parking lot in the Rolls Royce and they fly a private jet everywhere they go. And you're like, wait a minute, brother. You don't need to be doing ministry all the way. You need to focus on your church. How many people in your church having abortions? How many people in your church getting divorces? How many people in your church are broken and dealing with trauma that you haven't addressed? But you can fly around the country on your private jet and be a world minister. And you got people at your church dying every day spiritually. It bothers me because I know that sometimes it's a temptation to build a massive church. And now you used to have three people in your church and then you have three services full of thousands of people. But I remember in the Bible when it talked about the shepherd, one would get lost and he would leave the 99 to go get the one. And in today's churches, they don't, it's 99 that have left and they don't know they left. How are you going to serve as a shepherd when you don't know who's left your church and who's going and coming? Let me tell you about the Tatum store. Is that what it is? The Tatum store? I'm going to skip it. I'm going to finish what I was saying. So, you know, I really believe that we should be following what Peter did, what the men of the Bible did, and not what Joe Osteen or somebody is doing in the modern church. Don't make a copy of a copy. Make a copy of an original. You need to stop making a copy of the church that you didn't like going to last week and start your own church. Go back to the book of Acts and start the church like Peter did. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break. It's a big dot. Ain't nobody gonna shake my face. Ladies and gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I want to tell you guys about this incredible movie. If you are looking for the truth of what Dr. Fauci did to America and all of the con artists that were behind him, and I would say empowering him to do the things that he did, you look no further, because the Dr. Fauci, the real Dr. Fauci documentary movie is out today. You need to watch it. It's incredible, and I think it's informative. Because the mainstream media will never tell you the truth. They have a vested interest to lie to you because they were wrong and they should get sued for all the disinformation they've been putting out and blocking your constitutional rights, saying that you're pushing disinformation. But anyway, go and check out TheRealAnthonyFauci.com. TheRealAnthonyFauci.com. Watch the movie today and be inspired and informed. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I got to get back on the church for a minute. I really do believe that a lot of Christianity today, if you look at the numbers, you say all these kids are falling away from Christianity. Churches are, in some cases, have lower attendance than they've ever had in history. All of these things are because people can only attract people through emotions and religion. To have something sustainable, you need to have a relationship. That means when people leave the church, they need to be still Christians. You know, I experienced that when I was young. We used to go to church every Sunday. We were in the church, but the church wasn't in us. We go to church and we listen to Tupac on the way home. I mean, we weren't focused on the word and building and developing and trying to seek, you know, God in our relationship. Those are things that we did not do. I would argue that 80, 90% of Christians don't even read their Bible. The pastor reads the Bible and they go, yeah, amen, pastor, amen. Like, see, my pastor, I go to that man's church. Have you read what he said in the Bible? Do you even know that he's telling you the truth? My pastor used to always say, don't listen to me, read the Bible. Go read your own Bible. My pastor used to say, where your Bible at? Because when you come to church, you better have a Bible in your hand. He said, where your Bible at? No, it's a Bible in the seat behind you. Get the Bible out the seat and you need to be reading your Bible while I'm reading the Bible. So you can verify what I'm saying to you. I'm not here to deceive you. I'm here to tell you the word of God, and I'm going to verify everything I say. I really wish that in our country there would be an emphasis on these things. And I would always tell people, avoid religion and build relationships. Well, every time I think about church, and I think about how the church is established in America, how the Christian church is established, I look back at Peter and I say, what was the first things that Peter was preaching to the people? Why is your pastor not preaching this? Why did he jump over four or five books of the Bible to get to something that sound real cute to you instead of going with what Peter said? Let me give you an example. If you are at a church and your pastor is doing what we call an altar call. I think Peter did the first altar call, didn't he? When they had found out they crucified Jesus Christ and they realized they crucified the Messiah, they said, brother, what shall we do? He didn't go and quote nothing else. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If your pastor isn't saying that, you have to ask the question of why. Peter knows what Jesus just left Peter 10 days before. He just had this statement that he spoke to these people. And what did it say they did? They went and they baptized thousands of people right after that statement. Why do your pastor tell you, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, and that's all he says to you? Why do he leave you out hanging like that? That's not what Peter said. Now, I think it's invaluable that you confess and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. They did when they found out they crucified him. They said, we acknowledge that we crucified the Messiah. What shall we do? When your pastor get up there and say, confess your mouth, believe in your heart, in your heart, you should say, well, what shall we do now? And Peter, given the keys to the church by Jesus Christ, said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of your sins. And I feel like nowadays it's not cute to say. It's not cool to say. That's too religious. That's legalistic. You don't need to do nothing to go to heaven. It's like, no, you need to be obedient. Jesus didn't just tell you need to be born again just because he felt like saying it one day. When he spoke to Nicodemus, what did he tell you? You must be born again in order to enter a seat into the kingdom of God. He wasn't just joking and playing. And your pastor don't know better than Jesus Christ. Why don't we go to the Bible for these things? I think a lot of people some pastor did this to me, and that's where I think it messed me up. And thank God I went to a real church. I went to a church and the pastor did an altar call, and he said, I want you to be saved. You know, anybody want to be saved, come to the front of the church. I come down there. I was in the eighth grade. I came down there with my sweatsuit on because it was dressed down Sunday. And he took me in the back room and he said, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, you saved. That's what he told me. And I said, oh, I'm saved. I can sin for the rest of my life. I'm already saved. Why am I going to do anything? I can sin for the rest of my life. And every time I think about my sinning, I say, well, I'm already saved, though, because he told me all I had to do was do this, and I'm saved. You know, there's more to access to salvation and access to grace, and it takes you to do something. I get irritated when people say, faith alone, grace alone. Well, faith is an action word. Faith is not a theology that you think about in your mind. Faith is an action word. And I say this on the radio all the time. It wasn't enough for Moses to hear the call for him to go up and get them tablets or to part the Red Sea. It wasn't enough for Abraham to just acknowledge that he had to sacrifice his son Isaac. He had to physically make up in his mind at the point of sacrificing his own son before God presented a ram in the bush. It wasn't enough for Noah to say, I acknowledge, God, that the flood is coming. You think that, then think about this. If he just said, I confess with my mouth, believe in my heart that the flood is coming. What is that? I get it. That's good that you acknowledge that God is proclaiming to you that the flood is coming. But you better get out there and build that ark. Because if you don't build an ark, there is no opportunity for salvation for anybody. Now, they didn't want it anyway, only his family, and he ended up getting the animals. But you have to do something. Jesus Christ couldn't just say, I acknowledge that I'm going to die on the cross for your sins. He had to get beat. There was a prophecy that these things had to come to pass in order for your salvation to be effected. So Jesus had to get beaten and died on the cross for your sins. And I really wish that people would understand that faith is an action word, and it's more to the experience with God than just saying something out of your mouth that you probably don't believe in your heart because you take no action towards it. Let me tell you guys about Relief Factor before I go to the break. If you look for a solution to aches and pains, if you look for a supplement that works, Relief Factor is your supplement. I take Relief Factor all the time, and it works well for me. And I tell you about it every day on the show. And if at this point you haven't bought Relief Factor, I'm mad at you, because I'm telling you every day to go buy Relief Factor. I'm just kidding. I want you to go and give it a try. You have nothing to lose. And if you don't like it and you take it and it don't work, I want you to call in the show and tell me it don't work. But I'm pretty confident that it's going to work well for you. But you got to take it right. Don't go take Relief Factor one day and then say, it didn't work, Brandon. You got to take it. You got to get it in your system. You got to watch it work and then order more. I think that's the recipe for success. That's the way I did it. I took it for a week and a half, and then I started really feeling different. So go to ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call the number 800-4-RELIEF. Ladies, Welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I have a person that's calling in that disagree with me, which I love and I appreciate and I respect. Let me go with Joaquin from Riverside, California. Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show. Joaquin, I need you to be quick. I only got like 3 minutes. What's your disagreement?
Okay, my disagreement is that the purpose of the church, it wasn't, the church is not for new believers. It is for the church that are saved already. We're supposed to go out. We're not supposed to bring in. We're supposed to go out and preach the gospel to the lost, not the other way around. Second point, if something else is needed for salvation, just to have faith and believe it and forgiving the sins, then the man on the cross wouldn't have made it. Let me
address that real quick. I heard this argument before. Let me address this real quick. Okay, let me address it. I think that we all have to understand. People always bring up the man on the cross. You got to understand mm-hmm. that the man on the cross is from a different dispensation of salvation than we have after the cross. And Jesus could have forgiven him. He had access to forgive sin on earth. He also can forgive him and give him an opportunity. But after the cross, we are under the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I know a lot of people bring up the cross and they try to act as if we are consistent or congruent in that. Listen, let me just ask you this question real quick. When John 3:3-5, what was Jesus talking about when he said you must be born again or you will not enter or see into the kingdom of God?
Born again is believing.
Born again, he said you must be born of the water. He said you must be born of the water and of the spirit. What does that mean?
Water is not baptism. Water is being born. Go back to the Hebrew and Greek is when you come out of your mother's womb.
Okay, I got to talk to your points. I only got a short time. You said water water is not baptism. Hold on, let me get this
not
point.
Baptism.
You said water is not baptism. Water is born. That is not true. Nicodemus asked him, should I be re-entering into my mother's womb a second time? And he said, no, you should be born again. Jesus went and was baptized. Wasn't he baptized by John the Baptist?
Yeah. Why didn't Paul baptize if it was so important?
Why didn't Paul baptize what?
Why didn't Paul baptize if it was so important?
What do you mean? I don't really recall. Well, Paul was baptized, wasn't he? Was Paul baptized? Paul was baptized and received the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You remember that?
He never baptized anybody.
Just because they didn't record it don't mean he didn't do it. If Jesus told them, go ye therefore teach our nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and you telling me Paul didn't do it, that means he didn't listen to Jesus' commandment. So what I'm saying is that, yes, he did. Just because they may not have recorded it doesn't mean he didn't do it. And I'll tell you this. Why would Paul get baptized if it wasn't important? Why would the apostles be baptized if it wasn't important? Why would Jesus be baptized if it wasn't important? Why would Peter tell the people who found out that they crucified Jesus that you should repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sin? And he baptized thousands of people on that one day. If it wasn't important, Jesus would have never told Nicodemus to be born again. I ran out of time. You got to call back tomorrow. Call back tomorrow. Let's have this conversation. Call earlier in the show. I have more time. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm out. What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.